This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. The second last of the qualities that we're talking about is how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was able to change the attitudes of people. Every time I want to say the most powerful of examples from the life of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I find something which is even more powerful. So this is the beauty of the life of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that everything about his life is powerful. We ask Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala to help us to emulate him in every aspect of our lives. And one of the most powerful things, or the most powerful things, was his ability to forgive people. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam could forgive anybody. And that's why Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala gave him the title Rahmatul Lil Alameen. Imagine, this is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim giving the title of Rahmatul Lil Alameen to his Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha asked him, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, she said, Ya Rasulullah, if I am able to find Laylatul Qadr, meaning she's talking about the last 10 days, last 10 nights of Ramadan, the odd nights, and she says, because we don't know exactly which night it is, we do not know the exact date. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, it is, search for it in the odd nights. So she says, Ya Rasulullah, if I find Laylatul Qadr, what dua should I ask Allah? What dua should I make? And Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Ya Aisha, say, Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afu fa'afu anni. O Allah, you are the forgiver. You are the one who forgives. You love to forgive. So forgive me. Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afu fa'afu anni. Seeking forgiveness. Istighfar and tawbah are two separate words. Istighfar means to apologize, it means to seek forgiveness, and tawbah means to turn around. So the two words, when they are used separately, for example, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala said in the Quran, Fastaghfiru thumma tubu ilayh. Allah said, seek forgiveness of Allah, then turn towards Allah. So when the two words are used separately, they mean separately individual meaning. But if only one word is used, it automatically means the other. So anytime istighfar is used, it means istighfar and tawbah. Anytime tawbah is used, it means istighfar and tawbah. Because it makes eminent sense, if I am regretful about something, if I am seeking forgiveness about something, then automatically I am saying, I will not do this again. I am turning away from this sin towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, that's the meaning of it. The power of istighfar and tawbah is something to think about. In the hadith of Musnad Imam Ahmad and also in Abu Dawud, with a different meaning, with different words, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the one who sincerely makes istighfar. So, let us try to say, Astaghfirullah illadhi la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum wa atubu ilayh. Repeat after me. Astaghfirullah illadhi la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum wa atubu ilayh. I seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the, other than him there is no one worthy of worship, who is al-hayy wal qayyum, he is the living and he is the established, and I turn towards him. This is the meaning of it. Astaghfirullah illadhi La ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum wa atubu ilayh. Try to say this at least 100 times in the day, and not just simply astaghfirullah, no. Sincerely sit down quietly in one place and say, thinking of all the times that you and I disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And take each one and say, astaghfirullah illadhi la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum wa atubu ilayh. Sincere repentance, sincere tawbah with the intention of turning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the one who does this, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will do three things for him. The one who makes this istighfar, Allah will do three things for him. Number one, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will extract him from his difficulties. In another hadith, from his griefs. Allah will solve your problems. In any case, who can solve our problems? Only Allah. Allah is saying, Allah will solve it. Allah is saying, I will solve it. Allah will solve his problems, extract him from his difficulties. Number two, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will provide him from sources that he could not imagine. Allah will provide him from sources that he could not imagine. And three, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will become sufficient for him. Sufficiency with Allah means what? In this dunya, I have no needs, and in the akhirah, I have no needs. Allah is sufficient for me, which means Jannah is mine. Forgiveness is mine, inshallah. Because Allah is sufficient. And the meaning of this hadith is reinforced in the Quran in Surah Talaq, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُ. Allah said, for the muttaqi, for the one who has taqwa. Who is the one who has taqwa? The one who makes istighfar and tawbah. Istighfar and tawbah is a sign of the muttaqi. Allah said, the one who is the muttaqi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, وَيَتَّقِ اللَّهَ, Allah will extract him from his difficulties. يَجْعَلْ لَهُمْ مَخْرًا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in Surah Talaq, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. The one who has taqwa, Allah will extract him from his difficulties. وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. And he will provide him from sources he cannot imagine. You think that this is a wall. No, this is not a wall. This is a door. Allah will open the door for you. فَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. The one who has tawakkul on Allah, فَهُوَ حَسْبُ. حَسْبِ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. Right? Now, as I mentioned to you here, Rasulullah ﷺ never reacted. He always responded. He never... He forgave. I mean, imagine the level of his forgiveness. And this is the question that if I live with you and myself, who are we willing to forgive right now? With Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he forgave everybody, but some of the very dramatic incidents of his forgiveness. One was Abu Sufyan bin Harb, a man who dedicated his life to destroy Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his mission. All the three big wars before Fatah Makkah, Badr, Uhud, and Ghazwatul Ahzab, Khandaq, were the doing of Abu Sufyan. In Badr, he did not directly participate but the war happened because of him. But Uhud and Khandaq, Abu Sufyan was very much there. He was the one who led those forces. He was the general in command. Rasulullah ﷺ forgave him. Not only did he forgive him, he forgave his wife Hind. And he forgave her after she had mutilated the body of Hamza bin Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhu, who was not only the uncle of Rasulullah, but he was the same age. He was a milk brother of Rasulullah from the same mother. And he was his very, very close friend and companion. He was one of the early converts to Islam who gave a huge amount of strength to Rasulullah. And he was killed because of Hind. Hind was the one who instigated and paid Sayyidina Al-Wahshi bin Harb to kill him. Yet, Rasulullah ﷺ forgave him. Wahshi himself, there were seven people After Fatah Makkah, in Fatah Makkah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam forgave everybody. As you know, the way he came into Makkah, his blessed head bowed down completely. La ilaha illallah wahada, sadaqa wa'ada, wa nasara abda, wa hazama al ahzaba wahada. He said, there's no one worthy of worship except Allah, who was true to his promise and who helped his slave. And he defeated the Ahzab, the Confederates, by himself. Wahda, by himself alone, without any partners. He was saying this and he was reciting that, and his blessed head was bowed down completely. But anyway, to make the long story short, you all know the long story anyway. He stood on the door of the Kaaba, which, as you know, is raised up. And he called the people and they all came, because now there was a time when they called the people and they didn't come. But now he's at the head of the army. He's a conquering ruler. Now the custom of the time was that if a city resisted, if a city surrendered, then usually they would kill some of the prominent men and they would enslave the rest. If the city resisted, then they would do one of two things. They would kill all the men and they would enslave the women and children, or alternately, as in the case of Julius Caesar in one place in Gaul, as in the case of Genghis Khan and the Mongols everywhere, they slaughtered everything in the city. And the usual custom was, for 3 days, they said, we have lifted our hands, the rulers, meaning do what you want. So the army was let loose, do whatever you like. All kinds of rape and plunder and burning, everything. So now Rasulullah ﷺ is in Makkah and he has the right to do either of these if he wants. Custom and practice of the time. He has the reason to do it because for 13 years he and his people were mercilessly persecuted. Only because they said, La ilaha illallah. So what does he do? He asked them, he said, what do you say about me? They said, Anta Akhil Kareem, wa Ibn Akhil Kareem. Said, you are our honored brother, and you are the son of our honored brother. Same honored brother they tried to kill. Same honored brother they banished. But now the honored brother is the commander of an army, so you are our honored brother. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also knows that, you know, this is. He said, Idhabu fa'antumut tulaqa. He said, go. You are all forgiven. So that is why the people of Makkah are called the freed slaves of Rasulullah. Because technically, legally, they should have become slaves. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam forgave them. But among them, there were 7 people who he passed the death sentence on, and he said, even if you find them hanging from the kiswa, the ghilaf of the Kaaba, kill them. 7. And those 7, one of them was Al-Washi. So Washi says, I left Makkah and I went off to Taif. Then there was the battle of the Ghazwatul Taif. Battle of Hunain. And he said, after that, I had no place to stay, so I decided I will go to the coast, take a ship, and go off somewhere. Go to Africa or Egypt or somewhere. He said, on the way, I met a friend of mine. My friend said to me, where will you run? How far will you run? Because you have been proscribed. You have been, your name is on that list. Somewhere, some Muslim will find you and kill you. Because this has been ordered by the Rasul. So he said, what shall I do? He said, if you want to accept Islam, go accept Islam. Because he, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, promised to forgive everyone who accepts Islam. So Al-Washi said, I decided to do that. So he said, I covered myself. I put on a turban. I put the tail of the turban on my face like this. So just like a woman in niqab. Only 2 eyes are visible. Everything else is covered. He said, I went like that. I went into the Majlis of Rasulullah from the back and I came and sat in front of him. I gave my hand and I said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu annaka Rasulullah. He said, I bear witness that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah and that you are the messenger of Allah. Nabi Sallallahu his hand was in the hand of the Nabi Alayhi Salaam. So Rasulullah saw his hand, he said, who are you? So what she said, I took off my face covering, he saw me. So he didn't call people and say, kill him. No. He accepted his Islam. He accepted his Islam. Then he said to Vashi, tell me, how did you kill my uncle? So Vashi says, radiallahu anhu, he said to me, Ya Rasulullah, I had nothing against your uncle. I had nothing against anybody. But I was a slave. And I was promised that if I kill your uncle, my owner would free me. He said, Ya Rasulullah, you are never a slave. You don't understand what it means to be a slave. And therefore, you do not understand what it means to be free. So for me, this was everything. So he said, I took my spear. He said, I am very good with the spear. He said, I took my spear. I went to the battleground of Uhud. He said, I hid behind rocks and so on. He said, I had only one aim, which is to fight Hamza, nothing else. He said, I did not harm anybody. I did not kill anybody. I was not fighting with anybody. He said, I quietly tried to sneak up and he said, I found Hamza radiallahu anhu fighting one of the warriors of the Quraysh. Hamza radiallahu anhu was ambidextrous. He used to fight with, he never carried a shield. He carried two swords. You know, very rare people like this. Sayyidina Ali was another one who used to fight with both hands. So he said he used to fight. So I said, I'm seeing, he said, Hamza, he said he was like a lion in the middle of that. He said, he was like a huge male camel who is, very, very dangerous, lethal. And he's fighting and he said he hit the man. He said he made a stroke like that. And the man said to Hamza, radiallahu anhu, he said, you missed. Hamza radiallahu anhu said, take a step forward. He said, the man took one step forward and his head fell off. Hamza radiallahu's stroke was so fast and so the sword went through his body, the man didn't feel it. He said at that point, Hamza relaxed, radiallahu anhu. Vashi says, radiallahu anhu, I saw my chance. I stood up from behind my rock and I threw my spear. He said, my spear entered his chest and went down like this into the ground. It literally anchored him there. He said, Hamza turned towards me and he said, I was terrified. But he said, the wound was massive. The whole spear in his body, he couldn't move. He fell down. He said, even when Hamza was down on the ground, Vashi says, I was afraid to go near him. So I waited for a long time to make sure he was really dead. He said, then I went there, I pulled out my spear and I went home. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I did not mutilate him. I did not touch his body. I just took away the spear and I went home. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was crying through this whole narration. He said, he wept and wept and wept. And then see the mercy of the Rasul Alayhi Salaam. He says to Vashi, he doesn't say to Vashi, disappear, get out from my face, never come back. No. He says to him, if you come to my majlis, sit in the back where I cannot see you. Because if I see you, it opens up the wound again. Huh? He does not deprive Vashi radiallahu anhu from the barakah of the company of the Rasul alayhi salam. Till you can come. But don't sit in front because looking at you again reminds me of my uncle. So sit at the back. So I want to close with this and ask you this question. Ask myself this question. Who am I willing to forgive right now? Think about whoever is in your heart. No matter what you think they did to you, believe me, At least for the normal average Muslim, there is no one who has done him more harm than the people did harm to the Rasul alayhi salam. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Makkah, he went, he forgave them all, and very interestingly, he never even demanded compensation for what he and his sahaba lost. That would be very fair, no, and correct. You took away my land, give it back. You took away my house, give it back. You took away my money, it was so much money, give me back. No, he never asked them for anything. Not only did he not ask them, the sahaba didn't ask them. The muhajirun never asked them. This was the waqar of the Muslims. This was the... That's why the problem with ghibah, backbiting in this religion, which is such a big thing, because it creates enmities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Nabi said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hides the fault of the one who hides the faults of others. So become the covering of Allah, become the lihaf of Allah. If your brother has something, your sister has something wrong with them, go tell them. Don't tell the world. Don't tell somebody else. You know what I saw so-and-so doing? No. Hide it, cover it. But you are interested in correcting them, go tell them. Please, don't do this. This is wrong. Whatever. But don't tell anybody else. Right? Inshallah, jazakumullahu khairan. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's why I say here, the sahaba took action. They acted, they didn't just talk. So let us make this niyyah to bring the seerah alive in our lives, to practice the seerah, to live by the seerah, and to try to bring about some change in our lives. At the end of these 2 days, something in my life must change, no matter how small. May Allah try enable us to change more and more, but no matter how small. Let's try to do that, inshallah. Yeah? Jazakumullahu khairan. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna minal khasirin. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inna kunna minal zalimin. Rabbi ighfir warham wa anta khairul rahimin. Inna allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين والحمد لله رب العالمين.